Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Vasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
This is Tell Me What to Read, powered by Booktopia. I'm Cass, and today I'm back in the studio on unceded Wangal country, and I pay my respects to all elders past and present, and extend that to any First Nations people listening today. I'm joined by the hosts of Good Morning Podcast, hosts Sally Douglas and Imogen Khan, to talk about their new book. If you don't know, Good Morning is a chart-topping podcast that deals with a variety of topics surrounding grief and loss in a very candid and helpful way. Sal and Im, welcome.
Thank you for having us, Cass. It's so exciting to be here.
So exciting to be here, Cass.
It's amazing. I'm so happy to meet you both because as we were chatting before, I'm a big fan, been listening for a little while, so it's really nice. Well, first thing first, I know fans of your podcast would already know this, but how did Good Morning come together?
Good Morning came to be after the sudden and unexpected deaths of our mums. My mum, Vanessa, died by suicide in February of 2020, and Sal's mum, Rose, died of something called SUDEP, which stands for Sudden and Unexpected Death in Epilepsy. And safe to say, it was a huge shock for both of us. And the thing with grief is, it doesn't matter like if it was sudden or anticipated, like it's such a shock and you have no idea how to cope when it happens. And the thing about it is it's really, really lonely. So even if you're well supported, like Sal and I had amazing support from our family and friends, and we still felt like no one could fully understand what we were going through. And, you know, a lot of our peers, and I know this is something that you can relate to, Cass, a lot of our peers hadn't been through a big loss as well. It just made it a really isolating and lonely experience, which led us searching for support online. And we came across Motherless Daughters Australia, which is an organisation for women who have lost their mum. And it just so happened to be a community member from there organising a meetup for motherless daughters. And it was in Sydney. And that's where we met, kind of searching for support, wasn't it, Sal?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a love story, isn't it, Im?
It is, a tragic love story.
Tragic love story. And I think the thing that surprised us both is grief and loss happen to all of us. Nobody's exempt. It's a universal human experience, yet it is still something we don't talk about. And so Im and I, like, we became friends, we met at the support group, and we just hit it off, didn't we? And we talked for hours about, you know, all of our experiences with grief, the things that people don't talk about, like the physical exhaustion, how lonely it is. And then we were talking about, like, well, there must be other people out there who are our age or similar ages who are feeling like alone and isolated in their grief and loss because people aren't acknowledging it or talking about it. So let's start a podcast. So we started Good Morning, and it just took off like right away, and it just seemed that the people were craving like real and relatable and honest conversations about what grief is like. So that's how it came to be.
It's sad, but it's such a beautiful story that you guys have done something so beautiful out of, you know, such a awful experience that actually helps other people. So I love that so much.
Thank you.
Well, obviously, you've announced it now, but you've actually got a book coming out, which is really, really exciting.
I know. We've got a book coming out. I still can't believe it.
I can't either. Yeah. It's a dream come true.
Yeah.
Well, what made you decide to write a book?
I think we always knew that the response to our podcast and our content, people just ate it up, didn't they, Im?
Yeah.
And they were, you know, we love the way that you make me feel seen and heard. Like, you're talking about topics that even, you know, we get people reaching out to us saying, I had no idea that was related to grief, like feeling anxious and feeling physically exhausted. So we always kind of knew that we wanted to write a book, and we knew that in Australia, from our experience of searching for grief books, there wasn't anything that was more like a survival guide that was really easy to digest. So when Murdoch Books approached us about our deal, we just thought, yeah, now's the right time to bring our content into book form. This feels right. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Such a great idea, and honestly, I wish your book had come out 2 years ago when I needed it most.
Us too. We wish we had it too, because you just don't know, do you? Like, you have no idea what to do when grief hits you. And
yeah, and we were like, let's write the book that we needed, you know. And the thing is, it's for everyone, no matter where you're at in your loss. So we, you know, we've written it from a perspective of it can help us as well, and where we are at in our grief. So we wanted it to be something that was really easily, like, digestible, because when you're grieving, it can be really hard to, like, read like a heavy book or something that's, like, you know, got loads of text in and really, like, you know, just hard to, yeah, hard to digest.
Don't want to read a novel, you just want something that you can quickly relate to.
It
kind of, like, segues onto a question I was going to ask a bit later, but when I lost my dad about 18 months ago, I found there was so much stigma related to time, and I know you talk about a bit in your podcast, but do you feel like your podcast and the book really will help address that kind of stigma related to timing to grief? Like, I felt like people were like, oh, you're still on about that, and it's like, I think I'll be 40 and still feeling sad about the loss, but people who haven't experienced such a big loss, they maybe don't understand that. But yeah, can you tell me a bit more about how maybe that's addressed in the book?
I'm so excited for this question. Our book is stigma smashing. It is myth busting. Like, we cover it all. And that is something that both Sal and I really thought was important in there, because there are so many myths and misconceptions about grief that society puts on us, which makes it really hard to grieve. So we wanted to address all of those. And I think we covered off pretty much every single one that we hear within our community, haven't we? Like,
definitely. I think timelines, you know, the time limit of grief is the biggest one. And I think it's one of the first things that we talk about.
Yeah. And on that topic, so I think this is probably one of the biggest misconceptions about grief, is that there's the five stages of grief that we go through: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I think when you come into grief and you're, like, searching online for support, it's always one of the first things that pops up. So you're like, okay, great, I've got this timeline that it's going to happen. I'm going to reach acceptance and then I'm going to be over my loss. And I think people who haven't experienced loss also expect us to get over it at a certain point as well, which can make it really difficult. But what people may not realise, and this is something that we've addressed in the book, I don't want to give too much away, no. But the woman who came up with those five stages, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she's a Swiss psychiatrist, she was actually working with people who were at the end of their life, so terminally ill patients. And so these are the stages that she observed in people who were dying, not for people who are grieving the loss of someone they loved.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and neither did we. And then we came across that doing the work that we do, and we're like, holy shit, like, all of... Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, go for it.
I was like, all of these people who are grieving are looking to these five stages as a bit of a benchmark, and it's not even meant to apply to us. Like, you can go through all those five stages in 1 minute, or you can not go through any of them at all. Like, it just should be banished from the grieving people's...
It really should. And to your point earlier, Cass, like, you know, people do think that, oh, you're still grieving and it's been like a year or 2 years or 10 years. But grief isn't something that you get over, and it's not something that you heal from. You learn to integrate your life around it, but it's always with you. You carry it. You know, like you said, you'll be 40 and you'll still be missing your dad. Like, we'll be, you know, 60 and still missing our mums. And I think that's a really big thing to highlight to people. And I think how we've tried to position our book is that it's a really helpful resource, not only for people grieving, but also for people supporting, because it's got so much information.
I actually have a question about that later on.
We're answering all your questions without you.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's exactly what I wanted.
Before we go, I've just got one more thing on that. Yeah. But like, another thing that we touch on in the book is the concept of closure, which I think is a big one. So the idea of closure in grief, like, I just don't think that there is any when you lose somebody you love. And we kind of put this unrealistic expectation to reach closure, and it doesn't exist. You know, like Sal said, we will be grieving for the rest of our lives. Mm. And I think that's really important for people to understand. And I think another thing that we address in the book is not looking at grief as something to fear or something to rush out the door. We really invite our readers to kind of welcome their grief in and make it a friend, you know, and get to know it and nourish it and embrace it. So that's another thing that was important for us as well.
Definitely. You don't have to get over your loss and, no. you know, you don't have to be feeling like you've got to be, you know, feeling a certain way by a certain time frame. It's just not the case.
That's so beautiful and such a nice way to think about it, because you're right, it doesn't go away and you're better to try and, it's hard to find positives in everything, right? But, you know, there are some things that you can do to incorporate it into your life in maybe a nice way, like what you guys have done. I think it's such a beautiful thing that you are constantly talking about your mums, and that's kind of keeping their legacy going, isn't it? Like it's such a beautiful thing that you can keep talking about them, and you've spawned this incredible project and the book all kind of in their honor and memory, and you're helping others.
Totally. And you know, you don't have to like find any positivities in your loss or anything, you know, any sort of silver linings, but I think just learning how grief impacts you and how you can better look after yourself is a really good way to like invite it in. And like, you know, if you're feeling like anxious or there's certain emotions going on for you, just sort of understanding that is a way to like lean into it. Like, you know, you don't have to sort of feel like you've got to make anything out of it. It's just more being supportive for yourself.
Yeah, knowing how to look after yourself. I'm so excited to read this book, guys, seriously. Well, what was one challenge you experienced while writing it?
I think we really wanted to put so much content in there. It was a challenge actually choosing what to go in, because I think there's just so many things that kind of we address in terms of the different elements of grief. So we talk about how grief impacts you emotionally, you know, like we mentioned earlier, we myths and misconceptions, the physical impacts of grief, like relationships, loneliness, like there's so much. So I think,
like, where do you stop, right? Like, yeah. Where do you start and where do you stop? I think that was probably the most challenging part of the process. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You could probably just keep going on for so long, right?
Yeah. And I think because everyone's grief is so individual as well, like, we have to be mindful of that. And like Sal and I, obviously, we lost our mums. So we're coming at it from an angle of losing mother loss, but we wanted it to be broad. We wanted the book to be for everybody, for all types of loss and all ages and, you know, wherever you are at in your grieving process. So, yeah, just, I think, just figuring out
how we could tackle that
was probably the biggest challenge.
And how it could relate to everybody and how we could just like make sure that the really, really important bits were included, even though there was so much we wanted to, include.
Well, that's another reason why, you know, I really loved listening to your podcast and engaging with your community when I first lost my dad. It was just, I didn't feel normal. Mm. No one around me, you know, I lost him at 22 years old, and then I was suddenly just dealing with this mountain of, you know, planning a funeral and going through his house. I was given 6 months, and then it was 2 weeks, and then he was just gone. And I just didn't know what to do. And I just found that I just didn't feel normal. I didn't know who I was anymore. I feel like I am not even the same person I was 2 years ago. And that's why I really enjoyed listening to your podcast. It just made me feel more normal. I was like, wow, other people are out here, even though our experiences are different and what's happened is different, your relationships would have been different, but there is something still that common experience. And it just made me feel a bit more, okay, this is normal. Okay, anxiety happens, or this happens, or okay, that is completely normal, that's okay. And that was just some kind of relief for me to have while I was still going through that, you know, that massive process. So definitely recommend to anyone out there who needs it. It's a very great resource.
That's something you hear a lot in our book, that it's normal. This is normal. Anything that you're feeling and thinking is normal, no matter how outlandish. Like,
it's probably the most used word in the book.
I think that, and you are not alone. Yeah. But like you mentioned, you know, when you do lose someone you love and it was so sudden for you, it just strips you of your former life. Like, you just don't even recognize yourself anymore. And I think that's also really important for people who have an experience loss to understand, because we're expected to go back to work so quickly, or expected to, you know, move on and get on with it, when we're not ourselves anymore. And it's really important to normalize that and make sure that people know that that's actually a normal part of the grieving process. And we interviewed Dr. Joanne Cacciatore recently for our next season of the podcast, which we're really excited about. She's the author of Bearing the Unbearable, and she described it really well, and this might be something that you can relate to, Cass, but she said, when you go through a big loss, it's almost like you're living in this in-between world of the living and the dead. And I was like, oh my God, like that is it. Like we're in a different space.
Wow. Yeah, and I know we both found, and Cass, you might be able to relate to this, and maybe some of our some of the listeners as well may be able to, but it's like you see life through a different lens.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, like just something's different, you know?
I think it's, I call it, in my mind, I call it perspective. I feel like, you know, prior to losing my dad, he was like my best friend. He pretty much, you know, raised me and, yeah, he was my everything. So, but prior to losing him, I felt like, I don't know, I thought the worst thing was, you know, in COVID 2020, I had to come home. I was in England on exchange and I was so sad when I came home and it got cancelled, you know, 6 weeks in. And I'm not saying that that wasn't upsetting, but I feel like if anything, it's taught me perspective. So even sometimes I'm having a bad day, I'm like, oh, this is not the worst thing that I've been through, Cass. Like, you're okay. You've been through worse. Yes. If it's made me stronger or whatever else. But I find that it's like just so much different perspective on things now.
Totally.
That's so true. And more compassion too. We feel a bit more compassionate for
others,
which, you know, we're obviously compassionate people to begin with, but you start to realize that people are going through so much, you know. And
I think your priorities shift, and just back to like what you said about, you know, wondering if you were feeling like if it was normal. I think people don't realize that grief is like so much more than sadness. It is so much more. It is jealousy. It is anger. It's tiredness, extreme tiredness, it's brain fog, there's so much to it and people just don't realise. And then often you yourself don't realise because there's nothing out there that's talking openly about grief. So, you know, you're thinking, is this normal? Why am I so tired? Brain fog, why am I so forgetful?
Can't think straight.
Yeah.
Well, jealousy was a big one that I was like, oh, why? I'm jealous of other people who've, you know, lost their parents so much later in life just because I'm jealous of those years. But obviously it doesn't hurt any less for them. Regardless of, you know, I still feel like I could have been 55 and lost him then and would have been devastated regardless. But, yeah, jealousy is an interesting one. It's, you don't realise all these kind of emotions. I couldn't understand why I was feeling them. So, yeah, very excited to read the book.
And we address that in the book, like envy and jealousy. Like, you know, envy is a huge one too. And I think that's something that we do normalize because you can feel awful for having those feelings. Like they're yucky emotions, but we really try to highlight that there's no such thing as good and bad emotions too. We've got a whole chapter on emotions. So
it's a biggie, isn't
it's
it?
It's a biggie, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could have been a whole book on just the emotions.
Just emotions of grief. Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. An anthology. So back to sort of what you were saying before, how do you think this book can help those who are supporting someone who is grieving?
I think it's going to be a really good resource for those supporting because I think it's going to give them really helpful tools and tips. And we've got a whole chapter actually, haven't we, on how to support someone who's grieving, but it's really digestible. So it's really like, you know, little chunks of like tips. But I think it's kind of myth-busting, isn't it, Im? And I think it's going to surprise people supporting, I think, about all of the elements, but hopefully it's going to be a really helpful companion for people to know what to say and do.
And I think it being written by two people who have been through it, who are in it, in the depths of it still, is really important because we know what we needed and we know what we didn't need. And so our lived experiences are in that and they're in the tips that we suggest to people supporting too. It's like what was helpful and unhelpful for us and that may benefit other people.
Definitely. And like our community, so we've got a really engaged community on Instagram. Cass, you're one of those members. We've got a really engaged podcast audience. So throughout the book, we've taken insights and the stories of people from grievers from across the globe. It's not only our lived experiences, but the lived experiences of so many others. So, you know, all of the things in the book have been shaped by real life grievers. So like Im said, like the tips that we give people supporting are from people who are in it and they are what, you know, like people who are living grief. So
it's genuinely amazing. I mean, like I said, I wish I had your book like 2 years ago just because I feel like when I was looking, it was just all of these things not to say, but there wasn't a lot to say, like what to do. It was like, don't do this, but there wasn't a lot of things to point my friends or family to say, do this. Yeah. I think the only one that I thought was really good was like, never start a sentence with at least.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. If you have to say like, oh, at least he did this, or at least, I was like, don't say that.
No, never say those two words.
Never. Triggered, immediately triggered. But, yeah.
But you're right. Like there's a lot of kind of information out there for people like, well, what not to say. And it can be really hard. If you're listening to this and you're supporting someone through grief, it's really hard and it's a tough job, but I think just don't say at least. That's a good start.
It's a good start.
but there's so many other supportive, really helpful things that you can do that we have included in the book. So we do hope that it helps anyone supporting.
Yes, that's amazing. And I found, my partner was, he just didn't know what to do sometimes. He did a great job, but I think this would have been great. I did make him listen to your podcast quite a few times, but
love that.
Love it. But unless you've been through it, you don't know. You do not know. And we were probably really crap supporters at one point.
Totally. So if you're listening to this going, I'm a supporter and I don't know what to do, then let yourself off the hook because a lot of people don't, but definitely read our book.
Yeah, read the book. Read the book. That's going to help you a lot. I feel like I've asked this a few times, but, what are some things in this book that you wish you had known before your own experiences losing your mums?
That everything you're thinking, feeling, everything is normal.
The exhaustion.
Yes, that's such a big one.
The exhaustion. I'm still tired and it's nearly 3 years. I'm still exhausted and I'm like, how long can I blame grief for? But I'm just going to continue blaming grief because it is exhausting and it impacts your brain.
And we talk about in the book, don't we? We deep dive into exactly what's going on and why. And another thing. The science behind
it. Fascinating.
And another topic that every time we talk about this, we just get such a response. And I know, Cass, that you've responded to this as well, is grief and anxiety. Yeah, and people don't realise that the two can be interlinked or that grief can heighten anxiety, so we really unpack that as well. And also grief and brain fog. I wish I'd known about that because it's another thing that people reach out to us and say, oh my God, I had no idea the two were interlinked. I thought I'd just changed or, I'd just become more forgetful. But grief, and we talk in depth about the science behind this. There are quite a few things in there I think we wish we knew when we were fresh in grief, because you do wonder, what is happening to me?
And also, I think this is a big one, is that you can be – everyone grieves so differently. Sal and I pretty much grieve on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But we've normalised both of those ends of the spectrum. And I think that's what I wished I knew, because we both judged ourselves in the start. We both looked to other people within our family unit and were like – how come for me personally, I was like, how come I can't hold my shit together? How come I feel like I can't go back to work? How come I cannot peel myself off the floor and just get it together? Whereas my sister was grieving really differently, and it was in a sort of similar way to Sal, where she was getting on with things and doing things. And I thought there was something wrong with me. And then Sal, you can jump in here, but you thought that there was something wrong with you, didn't you?
Yeah, because I had to fly back to the UK and organise my mum's estate, the funeral, and I was motoring through things. Obviously, I was really sad and I cried and I was, I was in shock. But on a day-to-day basis, I was motoring through and I was able to go back to work. I was, able to kind of cope with day-to-day life. And I wondered if that was normal. Shouldn't I be on the floor? Shouldn't I be unable to face the day? So I think that, like Kim said, it's really important to highlight that we all grieve so differently.
Well, I think that's amazing that you've both worked on the book together then, because you've, you were saying, you've grieved in such different ways. So that way you can offer those two different perspectives and you've understood that it's normal to grieve in different ways. I think I was quite similar to you. I had, I was so down, and especially when I wanted to sleep, I was crying all the time and I couldn't sleep. But then I had to get up and I had to plan the funeral and I had to clean Adi's house and I had to do this and I had to do that. And then I had to go, start my new job. So I just kind of, everyone just assumed you were okay because, I just had to.
And the sleep thing, you said you couldn't sleep, grief, insomnia. Sal's given everyone a really good bedtime checklist in the book, guys, to help with that, because amazing. That's a biggie.
Yeah, it's a big one. That's amazing. I've got a couple of friends who have recently lost people too, and they've come to me like, I can't sleep. I'm like, oh, I had the same thing.
Yeah.
Listen to you guys. Well, since we're on a podcast, we're chatting on what drew to you to the medium of podcasting to share your experiences and in conversations about grief?
We like to chat.
Love a chat, us.
I think we just thought what we were craving when we were early in our loss was hearing the stories of others and hearing, because you just want to know that other people have been through it, right? Because you feel so lonely. So I think for us, a podcast just seemed like the perfect medium, because it would enable us to share our stories, but then also the stories of other interesting people and how they've navigated loss. So yeah, it seemed like the right format.
Yeah, podcasting, like listening to podcasts early in my grief was amazing. Like I just wanted to block out the noise in my head as well. And like Sal said, you want to hear the stories of others. I particularly needed to hear that other people had survived what I'd gone through, because I felt like I was going to die. And that was really helpful. And just hearing people's stories about how they processed their losses and what helped them get through it. And then when Sal and I met, I remember we were sitting in my car. I feel like you were in my car the first time we met. I don't know.
I think we were
maybe
at the beach.
It was the second time.
At the beach, maybe.
Oh, yeah, no, this is a different time. But we were, like, swapping podcast episodes that we found really helpful.
Oh, yes,
remember?
In your car.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were well into listening to podcasts when we first met, and they were really helpful for our grief. But how we started, well, how we came up with the idea to do the podcast is we were sitting at DY Beach, and we just sat there for hours, and we were just talking about our losses and how we felt like there was no other space around us to be able to talk like this, and how lonely it is, and how many other people might be out there feeling exactly the same as we were. And if we didn't have each other, what would our grief look like? And so we workshopped a few ideas of things that we could do to help other people going through what we were going through. And pretty quickly we came up with a podcast, because it was peak COVID too. So we were like, oh, should we do like a supper club? We're like, no one can come because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we said podcast, and then it just took off.
Yeah, and I remember us sitting there, and like every time we met up, we'd be like, do you feel like this? Oh my God, yes, do you? Yeah. Oh my God, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel
so
like
excited.
That too. Oh, it's not just me. And I remember we were talking about like what we should do, and then we both were like podcast, and it's like, oh, it was like a light bulb went off, and we were like, yes, and then it
there
just happened
no
really quickly
back.
Yeah.
It's been very successful. Have you been surprised by that success at all? Like, you've been surprised how well it's taken off, and you've built such a great community. Like, has that been?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know how to describe this, but it's like, it's difficult to sit back and observe it and see what we've created. Like, I think we've just been so immersed in it. Like, sometimes we do get really shocked. We're like, wow, there's tens of thousands of people listening to our podcast. Like, we just would never have dreamed for it to become what it has. And I think we haven't really quite sat back yet and gone, wow.
And I think our driving purpose is just to help others feel less alone in their grief. And when we first started the pod, we just said to each other, if we can help one other person feel less alone or feel understood, then we've done our job. So I don't think we didn't expect to have the amount of listens we have each month and the community that we've built. And we get messages every day from people saying, your podcast has saved me. Thank you for your podcast. I feel seen. I feel heard. It's helped me so much. And yeah, it's so lovely to know, because that's what we do it for. So
I feel like you've just answered my next question, which is so fine.
Sorry.
No, that's exactly what I want. I was going to ask, like, what are some of your favourite moments or experiences you've had a result? But I feel
No, we haven't answered that.
Oh, no?
Yeah. Okay. I've got more
that's a different
for you,
question.
Cass.
Okay. Lay it on me.
I think some of my favourite moments, I mean, my favourite thing about the pod is our friendship. But we have
that's
had...
That's cute.
Yeah.
Sharks.
We've just had some really funny moments when we've been recording. So, like, just the ovenless mum story.
Oh, my God.
I just listened to that episode,
did
by
you?
The way. I was cackling. I was like, that's so random.
I feel like, Im, you're good at telling the cockroach story.
So random, yeah. So, basically, when Sal and I met, we just felt like we were so similar in many, many ways. Not just our dead mums, all the types of losses that we've been through. But yeah, just we were almost living like parallel lives our whole lives until these really tragic things happened, and then a force brought us together and we met. But one of the things that we have in common is both of our mums did not have ovens. Like,
So random.
And I don't even know how we discovered this, or I don't even know.
You could probably tell us, Cass. I don't know what we were talking about to even come on to that topic.
But
it's just funny.
There were just so many funny moments, like when Im like starts laughing and gets on a roll, she can't stop. So there's been many of those moments. Yeah. And also earlier this year, we were the guest speakers at the Motherless Daughters Australia Mother's Day High Tea. That's a mouthful. So anyone here listening that's experiencing mother loss that's based in Australia, they have annual high teas pre-Mother's Day for women to get together and celebrate and honour their mums. They have them in most cities across Australia, so definitely worth checking out. But we were the guest speakers for the Sydney High Tea this year, and it was extra special because we met through Motherless Daughters Australia, so that felt really nice. That was a special moment,
that
wasn't it?
That was a special moment. And I think as well, getting to interview some really incredible people is a highlight for us. We've interviewed our dream guests so far. Like, there was an episode, I think it was one of our, one towards the end of season four maybe?
And we
were asking each other some questions, and we're like, okay, if you could interview anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be? And my answer was Dr. Edith Eger. She pretty much saved my life. And Sal made it happen.
Yeah, like, so... Your listeners might be familiar with Dr. Edith Eger because she's written two brilliant books, The Choice.
The Gift and The Choice, yeah.
And I think she's a New York Times bestselling author, right?
Yeah.
So Im was like, my dream guest would be Dr. Edith Eger because of her work on trauma and forgiveness. And I was like, right, well, might as well reach out. Like, I'm very much like a... sky's the limit, like, let's make it happen. That's my approach to life. And so I reached out to her team, and Dr. Eger's team came back and said, yeah, she'd love to come on the pod. So that was a surreal moment, wasn't it?
That because was insane.
For listeners who don't know Dr. Eger, she's a Holocaust survivor. And so that, like, is very much like where her work, what her work is influenced by, her trauma.
She's one of the few remaining survivors of the Holocaust, and she's in her 90s. I think she's just had her 96th birthday.
Yeah.
And
so that was quite surreal, wasn't it? It was like not only speaking to one of your, like, idols, I guess, but it's like it was like talking to a piece of history, It was amazing. And also my dream guest is the psychic medium, and your dream guest as well, Laura Lynn Jackson, who has also written a couple of best-selling books, The Light Between Us and Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe. And her work has been really impactful on Im and I. So we got to interview her. She was our last guest episode, actually, and that was amazing, wasn't it?
Oh, that was another pinch me moment. It was just incredible. And so, yeah, I think having the opportunity to speak with some amazing authors and change makers has been really special for us.
So sweet. And I really love that you had a full circle moment going and speaking at that high tea. That's actually so special. I feel like for me, meeting, I feel like my favorite is getting to meet you guys, considering I was so excited telling my partner, saying, I'm going to meet them. I'm so excited considering how much you guys have helped me.
I love that.
This is another beautiful moment for us. This is a highlight for us as well, getting to sit across from one of our community members. And it's just super special.
I love that.
Oh, look, happy to be here.
Hair standing on
goosebumps.
I actually asked, since you mentioned signs and things, I know you have a few episodes on it, but just quickly, it's so interesting. Have you had any signs, you feel like, from your mums?
Yeah, loads. I feel like you've had some really good ones recently, though.
I can tell you about my most recent one.
Oh, yeah.
Probably still quite emotional about this one. Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, how have we not cried yet as well? We always cry. Anyway, so I recently got engaged.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it was a whirlwind trip to Indonesia. I was in Bali with a group of friends, and I was going to say partner, but I can call him my fiancé now. Haven't said that yet. My fiancé got bitten by a mosquito like a couple of days in, and he got dengue fever, and he was so sick, and I was absolutely terrified. Obviously, we're in a foreign country. You Google dengue fever and it does not look good. They start telling you all these really messed up symptoms and how it's one of the deadliest viruses to catch from a mosquito. So that was really scary for us, and I have anxiety, so it went to town, and I was Googling way too many things. And so for about a week, we were just, had doctors coming around, checking his blood, it was really frightening. And it was touch and go for a bit. Like, we're like, is he going to go to hospital? Like, what's going to happen? And then on the seventh day, we got the news that he got the all clear from the dengue. His platelet count had gone up, so he was going to be okay. And that was just the best news I could have ever gotten. And he showed me the text message. So in Indonesia, the doctor's like, WhatsApp you. It's amazing. They've got like really amazing healthcare over there. Yeah, so the doctor's like, WhatsApped him. And he showed me the message from the doctor where it said like, good evening, Mr. Benjamin. This is good news. Your platelets have gone up, blah, blah, blah. And then it signed off, best regards, Dr. Vanessa. And for anyone listening, Vanessa is my mum's name, and Vanessa is not a common Indonesian name. And I just lost it. Like, I absolutely lost it, because one of the things I kept saying, like, was I just want to call my mum and talk to her and get her reassurance while I'm over there that we're going to be okay, everything's going to be okay, like, you know, mums do. And I couldn't get that, so I had to be really strong, and it was hard. And I just felt like I just want my mum in those moments. And she came through. She came through and said, well, he's going to be okay, from your mum. So that was special. I couldn't stop crying. I was crying so hard my ears got blocked, like snot dripping out my nose. Like, it was so intense. And then the next day, Ben was feeling better, obviously emotionally and physically, and he proposed. And it didn't go to plan at all. It was not what he'd originally planned, but he proposed to me on the beach in Seminyak, and it was really beautiful. And our three-year-old daughter came and brought us the ring, and it was, yeah, it was really, really special. But it was a whirlwind trip, and I just felt really griefy when that happened, because I was like, I want to call my mom and I want to FaceTime her and hear her excitement, but I couldn't. But then I just remembered that she was there. She was with us, even though she wasn't physically there and I couldn't call her. So that was my most recent sign.
Such a strong one.
That is so, so special. I feel like they always happen around those kind of bigger milestone moments. And kudos to your partner, have being that sick and still pulling off a proposal. There you go.
The poor guy. We went to try to go out to dinner afterwards. He's like, I'm going to faint. We've got to go. So we just went home and got room service. It was not like, this extravagant thing as he'd sort of originally planned. But it was, my sister said something that was beautiful. She's like, it's not about the perfect moment, it's about making the moment perfect. And I think he did that really well.
Yes, I love that
saying. Yeah. I love that. That is so beautiful, so special.
Give us one of your signs, Sal.
I think when I first, when Good Morning started to take off, I decided to quit my full-time PR job and go freelance so I could focus more time on Good Morning. And I remember being at the beach and I remember saying, Mum, if this is the right path for me, send me a sign. And what you can do is just think of one of the first things that pop into your head. So for me, a sloth just popped into my head, so I'm going to run with it. And then a couple of hours later, I actually met Im for dinner. And we're just sitting at the table having a chat, and Im's daughter's there and Im's got the iPad, you know, trying to...
Don't judge me.
Not at all.
And giving like her daughter something to watch, and then this ad pops up on YouTube, and she's like, "Oh, look, there's that. What was it?
There's my dancing sloth." So it was a purple floss. It's really hard to say. Purple floss.
Flossing sloth.
Purple flossing sloth toy that she got given for her birthday, and it was like an advert for this flossing sloth.
And I was like, oh my God, what did you say?
And I was like flossing sloth, what?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you have no idea. Yeah. I was like, what? Because I literally asked my mum for a sign today and said, if I'm on the right path, show me a sloth.
And then Im had saved some content like for us to post on our social, and it was from like I think it was like an Instagram account called like the Happy Sloth Club or something. Yeah. So it was like a double whammy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Must have known that you guys needed to meet, and awesome. Actually, it's kind of interesting. It was the first day I was going back to work. I used to work in PR as well. I was going back to work at the agency in Sydney, and I was really anxious my first day back in the office. And since the last time I'd been in the office was the week my dad went. And I was super anxious and I was crying and I was just stressed, just because I thought it was going to bring back all those feelings of, because I was, you know, at my new job, but my dad was in hospital and I was calling people on my break telling them, oh, you probably should go visit him, he's dying. And I was listening to one of your episodes on the train in, just I thought it might calm me and help me. And I think I'd been responding to some of your Instagram stories and things prior, and you actually included one of my things on that episode that I needed on the day I went in. And it was, you were like, oh, this is from Cassidy. And I was like,
oh my gosh, can you remember what episode?
I think it was going back to work, or it was something, it was from a little while ago, it was last year, but it was something about either going back to work or I think it may have been grief and anxiety or something. It was something that I needed in that moment.
I love that.
And yeah, you'd actually included like a comment from me, and I was wow, that's actually like... so special. I don't know. I felt seen.
Good. That's our aim, for people to feel seen and heard through our content. And our book hopefully will be exactly the same. So we're really glad that you felt seen in that moment.
Well, what are you reading at the moment? Since we are a book, you know, podcast, do you guys read a bit? Is there something apart from, you know, grief resources and building your book, is there something you guys like to read as part of an escapism? Or
Sal reads like 20 books a day.
I'm a big reader. I did a literature degree and I love books. So I try and read like 2 to 3 a week. So I've actually read I've read some bestsellers recently because I've been trying to read a lot of fiction, having just spent, you know, the best part of a year and a half writing a non-fiction book. So recently, I'm a bit behind the times with this one, but I read Where the Crawdads Sing.
Such a good book.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched the movie.
Yeah.
On the plane.
The book is really good. I like to read the book before I see the movie. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I also, you know, Colleen Hoover is everywhere. So I read It Ends With Us as well. So both bestsellers. And I really enjoyed them both. Yeah, I thought they, especially It Ends With Us, has some very important themes. So, yeah.
In between juggling my 3-year-old and the pod, I am obsessed with like spiritual books at the moment. Like anything self-help and spiritual, I'm your gal. Sal gifted me Gabrielle Bernstein's book Super Attractor, and I absolutely love that. And I feel like it's been so helpful for me on this journey that I'm on at the moment. And Signs is one of my favourite books ever. So yeah, anything spiritual and self-help is my cup of tea.
Amazing. I actually got to interview the actor from Where the Crawdads Sing a few months ago for this podcast.
Daisy Edgar Jones.
No, I didn't get. She's amazing as well. But the gentleman who played Taylor John Smith, yes. My tongue just twisted there. But I got to interview him when the movie was coming out on DVD, which was really fun. I don't know.
How exciting. Yeah. That's great.
He was fun to talk to. Yeah, I love that. I love Where the Crawdads Sing. It was such a great book. So definitely a good pick.
I'd like to lend that one to myself.
I will.
Hope I haven't ruined it by seeing the movie first.
Nah, I don't think so. Okay.
It's a different experience. I feel like you get a little bit more. More layers.
I've got another one actually that I read recently that you'd enjoy, The Paper Palace by Miranda Cowley Heller. Have you read that one, Cass?
No.
Really good. I like actually probably one of the best non-fiction books I've read recently.
Cool.
Yeah.
Send my way.
What kind of themes are in that book?
So it's about a lost love, unresolved romance between childhood friends and kind of bit of a murder mystery thrown in.
I'm intrigued.
Love a murder mystery, don't we?
Yes.
Guilty pleasure of ours.
Same. I feel like when I did my Spotify Wrapped, my top 2 podcasts were you and Case Files.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Literally true crime and grief.
Grief and murder. Like,
literally. Yeah. Such a guilty pleasure. I just listened to it on my drives and I'm like... Well, so what's up next for you guys? Obviously, we've got the book, but is there anything else you can share?
Yeah.
We've got a big event coming up, which is exciting. It's our first big event.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a event at Vivid Sydney in June 2023. So we're partnering with one of our listeners, actually, a comedian called comedian and an actor called Grace Rouvray. She wrote and produced and starred in a drama comedy called 600 Bottles of Wine, which is on Netflix Australia. So she lost a friend through COVID, and has so she's going to be doing stand-up comedy around grief, and we're going to be kind of together unpacking the myths and misconceptions of grief, and having like, it's going to be an interactive session. So more details to come, but 17th of June 2023.
That sounds amazing. I will buy tickets. I will come. That sounds incredible. I'm so excited for that. Plus, I love Vivid. So.
Yes, and it's going to be something for everyone. So whether you're grieving or you're supporting, so kind of back to our point earlier about, you know, what can supporters do? Come to our Vivid event, because you'll learn a lot.
And we promise that it's not all doom and gloom. And that's the other thing about our content. That
and the book.
And the book. It's very important for us that it's not all doom and gloom. And yeah, so it'll be a good day. Good day out.
And we'll definitely be buying tickets. That sounds amazing. Well, this is a section we thought would be fun for both of you. We just wanted to give you guys a best friend quiz, if you were interested.
Sure.
I thought it would be fun to see how well you know each other. So I put together a few questions. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we like point scoring here? We love a competition.
Sal's
going to win though, because I've got a terrible memory.
If you like.
This.
maybe Nick, our podcast producer, can keep score for me. All right. Sal, what is Im's favourite book?
Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe by Laura Lynn Jackson.
Boom.
So I figure you might actually smash these really quickly. Im, what is Sal's favourite movie?
Oh, I don't know. What's your favourite movie? No, oh my God, what about TV show? Can we do TV show?
Okay.
Line of Duty.
Yes, I love Line of Duty.
It's the same as my mum's. I love how I'm just changing your quiz.
That's okay.
To suit me.
That's okay.
And so also, fun. I have ADHD and I'm
She hates movies. I know she hates Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh no!
I'm rubbish at watching movies. I can read a book I can smash a book in a few hours, but I find it really hard to watch movies unless I'm really interested in the topic. And my husband loves Marvel movies, and yeah.
Okay, so that's why I didn't know your favourite movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fair.
Do you think I find it too when I'm watching a movie, I still have to be on my phone or something. It's like I always have to be holding something. But if I'm reading a book, you're physically having to hold it and like...
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Actually move the page. So I'm very engrossed. But yeah, when I'm watching a movie, even then I'm still like...
Yeah, I really struggle to pay attention.
I'm just in my head all the time and then I don't follow the plot.
But happened? If it's a crime drama, especially a British crime drama, I'm engrossed.
Okay, but to be fair, the Brits have some of the best television.
So good.
Let's be honest. They
do Grimm very well, don't they?
I recently watched Broadchurch.
Yes,
and
Broadchurch.
And it was just, I know I'm like really late in the game, but I love David Tennant and it was just incredible.
So good.
Like, yeah.
You need to watch Line of Duty, Cass. It's brilliant.
Line of Duty. Okay. All right. Adding it to my list. Okay, Sal, what would you say is Im's spirit animal?
Dragonfly.
Oh, yeah, correct.
What about for Sal?
Spirit animal.
You know this. We spoke about it earlier.
Did we? Your spirit animal. Sloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely sloth.
Mine's also a sloth. That's amazing.
Is it?
I'm obsessed with them. My bedroom, my childhood door used to have drop it like a sloth on the front.
So good.
I love it. Just really revealing myself here.
Okay, phew, got that one. I'm like sweating, guys. I'm taking this really seriously.
Very competitive. What is Sal's guilty pleasure song or artist?
Oh, Oasis, Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Liam Gallagher. He's like one of my celeb crushes.
He's got a sick obsession.
Sal, do you know what Im's is?
I want to say like Tiesto or like some like hardcore like house like bangers.
Carl Cox or something. Some tech DJ probably. Yeah, that's people who listen to the podcast are going to be like,
do
what?
I get a point for that?
I reckon.
Yeah.
We'll give you a point.
Thanks.
Yeah, a CD techno DJ, surely.
Sal, what is Im's comfort meal?
Well, I mean, chocolate, but also, like, if you're having, like, a meal, I'd say, like, anything Thai.
Oh, yeah, like a pad Thai. Yeah.
That's a good choice. Nick, what was the score? Who won? Pardon?
4-3.
4-3? Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go. Do I need to ask one more question?
Yeah, go.
Wait, who do I have to ask one more question to? I forgot. Im? Okay. Sorry. I think I added a few extra ones as I was going. Okay. Im, what's Sal's favourite colour?
Oh, I actually know this. It's like a deep green.
Like the top that I'm wearing, yeah.
Like a deep green, right? Like an olive green.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're such besties.
I feel like this was just more a bit of fun. Wanted to see how well you guys knew each other.
Oh, so there's no prize?
This is the prize in
promoting your book. Well, I've absolutely loved chatting to you both. Honestly, I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on Tell Me What to Read.
Thank you for having us. It's been such a treat and it's really special to be interviewed by you, Cass. So thank you. It means a lot.
It's been amazing. Thanks, Cass.
Thank you. Well, for everyone listening to this, you can pre-order the Good Morning Book right now online at booktopia.com.au or at your local bookstore. You can also check out the Good Morning podcast, and I highly recommend that you do, down in the description as well. If you enjoyed our show today, you can check out more episodes of Tell Me What to Read right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Drop the show a review and let us know what you think. Thank you for listening and never stop reading.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au. Links can be found in the description. We would also love to hear what you're reading, so feel free to join the conversation on social media. Search Booktopia on your favourite platform and join our book club. We'll catch you for our next episode, but until then, thanks for listening and never stop reading.